Amen. Let's take our Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just want to draw your attention to a few verses out of this chapter. This is a chapter on speaking different languages and its use in the church. It's very helpful, but that's not going to be the focus of our message this morning. The message is it takes everyone. It takes everyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul wrote to the church and he said, we're all one body. Many members, but one body. And he said, if you're the ear, you need the eye. If you're the eye, you need the mouth. You're the nose, you need everybody. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, we're all one body, in one body, but many members. And he tried to get the idea across to us that we're all involved in this together. Everybody needs everybody else. Amen? And I want you to think about that as we read these verses, 23 through 25. It takes everyone. And this is really our month where we're trying to encourage worship and rejoicing, jubilation in the worship service. And I hope that maybe you'll take hold of some of these things and apply them to your life this morning. I believe they'll be a help to you. Practical things, but necessary things. Verse 23 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place. Everybody's at church. And all speak with tongues or languages. And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Those that don't understand that language. Will they not say that ye are mad? Could you just picture that? Someone came in today and everybody's speaking a different language. And they'd like, what have I got myself into? I didn't say that. Paul said that. He said that person that walked into that situation would say, you people are, y'all have lost your mind. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned. He is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus, this is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25. Some of you, here's some pages still turning. Verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. I don't know about you, but really that's what I would hope would happen if we had an unsaved person come to our church. I hope that he would feel the presence of the Lord, fall under the conviction of the Lord, and he would be compelled by the Lord to come and put his faith and trust in Christ and leave the service and say, there's one thing I know, I met God this morning. God was in that place.
Amen?
Amen? And I hope and pray that God will help us to be a church that has the presence and power of God on us. That's the most important thing in all the world. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this morning, opportunity to share your word, and we need you, Lord. I can't communicate what's on my heart, Lord, what you placed there. And I just pray, God, that your spirit would enable me to do that. That it would be plain and clear, and it would change us and transform us and into more of a likeness of Christ and what we do and how we worship. So, Lord, please have your way in this service. If there is those among us that are lost, the Holy Spirit, draw them with a strong drawing this morning, that they would receive Christ as their Savior. And, Lord, for Christians that have just gotten in the habit of going to a building and sitting on a pew or a chair, and that's all their engagement is, that you would stir them this morning, help them to realize there's much more to Christianity than just going to a building and sitting in the pew. And so, Lord, work on all of us and help us, please, by the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. So as we've tried to encourage worship, celebration, and jubilation this month, I hope that maybe you and I will begin to realize how much more important it is that we worship God, that we express our worship to God. When I think of worshiping God, I think of Psalms 100, that entire psalm. It says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So some of you say you can't sing very well. Just claim that verse. Amen. Just say, that's what I do. I can't sing well, but I claim that verse. He said, make a joyful noise. We'll look at what that really means in just a little bit. Unto the Lord, all ye lands, serve the Lord with gladness. You are to be happy to be a Christian. Amen. Come before his presence with
praise.
Right here in this verse, though. Come before his presence with singing. By the way, you might want to take this as your own private devotional time. And look at your devotional time. A lot of times you'll read a verse, have prayer. Maybe you could implement some of these things into that time of worship and your private time with the Lord. Know you that the Lord, verse 3, know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Listen to this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Making a joyful noise unto the Lord. If you translate that literally, it means shout with joy unto the Lord. Now, I almost wanted to try to challenge y'all to do that this morning. But I didn't know how well that challenge would go. It didn't say mumble. It didn't just say speak of. It said shout! I wonder what it would be like this morning if all of us said, glory to God! Hallelujah! Jesus is wonderful!
Yes.
You know what? The Bible encourages that.
Yes.
Now, I know you don't have to be as vocal as others. By the way, you can worship the Lord and never say a word. But don't criticize those that worship by using words. Amen?
Amen?
And so the Bible says that we are to shout. Shout with joy unto the Lord. And it's evident that the church of Corinth had some very active worship services. How many of y'all would agree with that?
Amen.
If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you would say it was very active. One would be speaking this language, another speaking that language. One would be singing his song, or somebody in the back would be singing their song. Somebody would be reading their favorite psalm over here, and someone else would be reading theirs over there. If you walked in, it's probably just people are like, "What in the world are we doing here?" It was chaotic, but they were trying to do their best to worship the Lord, but it was a bit confusing and it was in disorder. The thing we have to guard against in our day is too much order.
Amen.
Ordering out the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
I don't know about you. I'm fine with having a song. And then Brother Brian come up and have another song and then an offering. And then have another song. Then a special song. I'm all right with that. I don't mind that order. But it doesn't necessarily have to go that way.
No.
Amen?
Amen?
It'd be all right. And in order, someone said, preacher, God laid this on my heart. Can I testify? Or I've got this song that I want to share. Now, if that's the case, make sure that you sing. Amen?
Amen?
If you can't, give it to someone who can sing. Don't get stuck in a certain order of service, but we need to let the Holy Ghost have his way in our services. Amen. There still needs to be some order there, but let the Holy Spirit take control. Amen? So Paul confronts this disorder at Corinth and tries to bring about some kind of order in their service, so that when people come to that church, they would get the message. They'd hear and understand the Word of God so that their life could be changed. Wouldn't that be sad if someone came to church, never heard the Word, didn't hear the message, left thinking, what was all that about? I remember as a young man, I was sitting in church services one time, and my pastor was up, and he was preaching like a man on fire. I mean, he was pouring his heart out, sweating and preaching and very intense in the sermon. And then it was almost like the Holy Spirit said, Tommy, just look around. And I started looking around, and some people were asleep. Some people writing notes. You can tell it wasn't about the sermon and the outline. Others were just talking, little private conversations among themselves. And I thought, at that time, I thought there has to be more to Christianity than coming and sitting on a pew and then just like, at least try to hear what's being said. At least engage the message. At least pay attention to what's going on. But we get so used to coming to church that we forget that's what we're supposed to be doing, amen? And we're supposed to be a part of it. We're not just sitting there as a knot on a log. We have a role in this service. He is convinced of all and judged of all. Everybody's involved. He sees everybody on the same page. And he realizes, hey, that preacher's not the only one that believes that. At least most of the people here believe it too. And that comes through statements like, amen, that's right. Preach it, brother. Yes. Tell the truth. Y'all can use all those phrases. I don't mind that. Right. We don't want to just show up at church and go through the motions. God, keep us from that. You know churches die. And they die before the congregation dwindles and they close the door. You know how they die? They die by sitting on a pew, being disinterested in spiritual things. It's always somebody else's job to do something. Sing for me. Preach to me. Not realizing I've got a part to play. If this church is going to be what God wants it to be, I have a part to play myself. And I'm going to just try to mention a few of those things. What is my part just as a Christian going to church? First of all, it's to purify your heart before the service. I'm telling you, we're all involved in this. By purifying your heart. Remember in 1 Corinthians 5, there's a man in there that was engaged in sexual sin. How many of y'all remember that? He was sleeping with his father's wife. And the church wasn't doing anything about it. They weren't addressing it. They weren't trying to get the thing right. I don't know what they were thinking. They thought, well, maybe we could just love them through this or what. They knew what was going on and they refused to address it. And Paul said to them, wait a minute, you can't allow this to continue to happen. Why? Because a little leaveneth does what? Leavens a whole lot. You know why they remove cancer from somebody's body just as soon as they find it? Or they used to anyway. I've heard people have to wait months now for some reason. Because it spreads. Right? So when we come to worship together, one of the things that's necessary is that we purify our hearts. This morning in the Sunday school class, we saw where Samuel went down to David's family. And they were going to offer a sacrifice. And Samuel said to David's family, you need to sanctify yourselves before we offer up this sacrifice. What was he saying to them? He said, you need to get your heart clean before we come into the presence of God. Deal with any issues that's in your life. Why? Because when we come together to worship, we don't want sin hindering what the Holy Ghost of God wants to do. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God. Remember the nation of Israel went out to fight a little old town called Ai, and Ai whooped them. Drove them off, defeated them. Joshua got on his face and said, Lord, how can we lose? You're supposed to be giving us victory over our enemies. And he said to Joshua, get up and stop praying. There's sin in the camp. And until you deal with the sin, you're not going to win any more victories. Amen. It's important that you get your heart clean before you come to worship service. Amen? Amen. My father-in-law used to tell me, Tommy, it's more important that your heart be right than you have your sermon right. Right. And if it's true for the pastor, everybody needs to have that. Right. Don't come to church with a dirty heart. Spend some time saying, God, watch me in the blood of your son. If I'm done something wrong, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I don't want anything between me and you. We want God to come down and meet with us. Amen? And he's not going to come down and meet with the defiled people. So by purifying your heart, that's how you can be involved in the worship service. Secondly, by praying for your worship service. You know, Psalm 66:18 says this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Remember in Isaiah chapter 1, they were going to the temple offering sacrifices, going through all the motions. You know what God said to them in Isaiah 1? Stop bringing sacrifices. No more burnt offerings. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. Why? Because you're not right with God. Think about this verse in James chapter 4 and verse 2. James 4, 2 says this. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Listen, yet you have not because you ask not. What is it that you want God to do when we meet together and worship? Do you want God to do anything when we meet together and worship? You know, one of the things that I desire and pray for and crave, I desire that God would come down and demonstrate his presence in our worship service. I know he's here. He promised that. He always keeps his word. Amen. But there's a difference between him being here and him making himself known. We went to a meeting of churches one time. And that meeting was basically about business and stuff like that. But God showed up. And it was wonderful. It was beautiful. It was amazing. You could sense God's presence in a real way. I'll never forget going to that meeting and experiencing God's presence among those people. I want God to meet with us. God wants to meet with us. How many of y'all remember John chapter 4? The Father seeketh such to worship him. He wants true, genuine worship. Well, pray and invite his presence into the service. Amen? Amen. Anybody that gets behind this pulpit will tell you they need your prayers. Amen. Y'all, this is a mighty big book. Right? There's so much in here. I mean, where to go? What to talk about? What should I preach on? God, what do we need? Let me tell you what I pray about myself. I don't pray that God will give me a sermon. I pray God will give me a message. I want God to tell you what Jesus to tell you what he would say if he was standing up here. Amen. That's what I want to say. Whatever he would say. I'm still trying to get there. But that's my heart's desire. How are we going to come together with those truths? By intercessory prayer. Lord, meet with us when we worship. Save the lost. Revive the church. We need God's help in our day. Amen? How are we going to get his help unless we pray? You have not because you ask not. Amen? And then let me say, thirdly, by being present in the worship service. How can I be a part of what God wants to do here? Well, first of all, get your heart clean before you come to church. Amen. Certainly, if you were dirty and nasty and stinky, and you take a shower. Amen? Clean up that heart as well. Amen? Pray. God, meet with us. We don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want that. I want to meet with you. God, meet with your people. Convict us of our sins. Draw us closer to Christ. Save the lost. And then by being in the worship service yourself. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says this. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let me say to some of you, I'm not talking about if you've been sick. I'm not talking about if you've been injured. I'm not talking about if you've been in the hospital. That's not what that verse is talking about at all. You should never be grieved because you were not able to go to church because of some sickness or something like that. And if the devil tries to use this verse to cause you grief, you need to rebuke him. That does not come from God. Amen? But if you could be at church and you don't go to church, that ought to break your heart that God has said something in His Word and you're doing exactly opposite of what He said. How is it that we can look at thou shalt not commit adultery and see how true and real that is, and then we look at be faithful to church attendance and we say, well, you know, that's kind of optional. Is it optional? Did he mean what he wrote? Listen to the next verse after 10:25. Don't miss church. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If I am not consistent in church, it might lead me to sin. You think verse 26 is there by mistake? No. If I can't obey God about going to church, any other sin is just open. Any other sin is possible. Amen. The easiest thing in the world you can do as a Christian is go to church to worship. That can't get any easier. Amen. I dealt with a lady years ago, an older lady. She said, I can't go to church. Her children said, no, Mom, she just can't go to church. So I go by, I have Bible study and prayer with her. I said, how'd your week go? Well, we went to the doctor's office. They kept us there 4 hours. And then after we went to the doctor's office, went out and got some food at the restaurant. And then we went home. Now listen to me. What's going on in your mind? Same thing went on my mind. If you can do all of that, and you know, it takes effort, it's difficult, it's hard, or you wouldn't be having to go to the doctor, amen? But you go because it's important. It's important. Let me tell you something. Church is important as well, amen? Not forsaken is found several times in the Bible. It's used by Jesus on the cross when he's quoting Psalms 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Son was forsaken by the Father because of your sins and my sins. And because of that, we should never forsake the assembling together. Amen? It's used in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee. You know that one, right? Nor forsake thee. The one that said to you, don't forsake, abandon, neglect, dismiss church, go to church, is the same one that said, I will always be with you. I'll never leave you. Don't you leave me. Go to church, be faithful in the house of the Lord. Demas, Paul wrote of him in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Let me tell you the problem a lot of times when it comes to people missing church. They love the world. You see, preacher, I got my favorite program comes on a Sunday night about that time. Or I have this I do, or this I like to do, or this I love to do. Don't let the things of the world take the place being obedient to God. Amen? You know, a lot of churches have just given up on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. How many of y'all would vote this morning, preacher? I want to vote, make my opinion. I think we should give up all Sunday night services. How many would raise your hand and say, preacher, I think our church would do well if we just gave up all Sunday night services. I hardly think anybody would raise their hand for that.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, I think if we're going to do, let's give up Wednesday night. I doubt anybody would say, preacher, I think that's a good idea. Let's give up Wednesday night prayer time and Bible study. Now, listen, it's not written in the Bible. Go to Sunday school, go to Sunday morning, go to Sunday night, Wednesday. It's not written in the Bible. Thou art commanded to go to Sunday morning worship, Sunday night worship, and Wednesday night worship. But what if we did this? We said as a church, listen, I think we need to get together more. I think we need to meet with God more. We said, instead of Wednesday night, let's do a Tuesday night and a Thursday night. You know what our flesh says when we say more? We say, wait a minute, wait, Wednesday night's pretty good, preacher. Why is it that in our heart, our flesh says, no, I don't want more, but when it comes to the world, we naturally want more. Something's wrong. Maybe that's what's going on in Christianity. Maybe that's why when we meet, God is not there, because He knows we love something more than Him. You know, we might not raise our hand to say no Sunday night, no Sunday school, no Wednesday night. But when we absent ourselves from church, that's exactly what we're doing. You know, when you're not here and others come, it makes it tough on them. They get discouraged. They come to church, they want to worship, they look around, nobody, hardly anybody's here. You know what that does to their heart? It discourages them from their faithfulness. Is that true or not?
Yes.
You've been there yourself. When a small crowd gathers together, and you say, where's everybody else? And your heart is grieved.
Amen.
Well, don't be a part of those that grieve others. Amen? What does that verse say? Hebrews 10:25. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen? You say, preacher, I don't ever exhort. You know what you do by your presence? You exhort. You say it's important to me. I'm taking time out of my life to be there. It's important to me. Amen?
Amen.
If I'm stepping on your toes, all I can say to you, you know, because it's just true. I'm not trying to twist the scriptures to get you to see something that's not there. I'm trying to get us in harmony with God, so that God can have His way in our services. Amen?
Amen?
I took a trip to Colorado with a friend of mine. On Wednesday night in Nebraska, we stopped to go to church somewhere and worship. And we drove up and down the roads in Nebraska trying to find a church that we can worship in on Wednesday night. We found one. There was cars out in the parking lot. We went in, and nobody was in the sanctuary. We heard them. Down off the room, we went back, and the children were in there playing some kind of game, kicking balls back and forth. I think it was probably a time, church time for kids on Wednesday night. The adults had abandoned church on Wednesday night at that church. They just gave it to the kids for having a fun time. Can I ask you what's going to happen to those kids when they get older? You think they're going to be faithful to church? They're going to keep coming? No, sir. I'll move on. We went to several churches. We did not find a church in that town in Nebraska to have a Wednesday night Bible study with. We drove up to a big church. A guy was walking out. And we asked him, are they having adult services in there? He said, no, they got something for the kids. Listen, that could be this church or any other church like this. Until you and I say, that's what the Bible says, and when it comes time to be at church worship, I will worship God with God's people. I'm telling you, God will bless that in your life.
Amen.
Yeah. Some of you have missed so many rich blessings by not hearing Brother Bruce preach on Sunday night.
Yes, that's right.
You've missed some major blessings by not hearing him share the word of God on Sunday night. I think Wednesday nights would also be a help to you. Amen? This is really my point, and I'm not going to be able to spend a lot of time here. But by your participation in worship. You know, and I know this, you can go somewhere and really not be a part of what's going on. Is that true? Can you go to church and never worship? Amen. You know, a lot of people have gotten a habit of going to church and not being engaged, not listening, not worshiping, not responding to God. The Father seeks such to worship Him. He needs a group of people that come willing to participate in worship. You know what Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. That was written to slaves. And it's told slaves, listen, when your owner tells you to do something, do it. Don't do it for the owner. Do it for the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord will reward you for what you do. But it's also a principle taken out of the book of Ecclesiastes that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. You may not like this, but I'm going to say it anyway. When you sing, you need to sing louder.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean sing louder? I'm saying put your heart in it. I know, you don't like the way you sound when you sing. Guess what? I don't like the way I sound when I sing. I'm sure you don't like the way I sound when I sing. But listen to me. Ever since I've been saved, I'm a little loud preaching.
That's all right.
But I've always been a loud singer, which sometimes is very embarrassing. Like when I do up here, I start singing a different song, y'all are in a different book somewhere, you know. Everybody knows when I miss it. If I miss a verse, all y'all laugh. You know, right off the bat. But I promise you this, if you put your heart into singing, we've gotten this bad habit of just, okay, here's Amazing Grace. And we make Amazing Grace not sound so amazing.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Do I need to illustrate it?
No.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. Listen, it's not, I'm not the one. God is looking at me singing. God is listening to me sing. And I'm talking about the grace that He has given, that He died on the cross for my sins,
amen,
suffered a brutal death, went through all that agony, through the burial and the resurrection, and when I come to sing of Amazing Grace, I mumble it out like it's nothing at all. I'm just saying, when we worship, put your heart in.
Yes.
How is he convinced of all? How do y'all think he's convinced of all? I personally think this. A preacher said, Jesus died for my sins, and somebody said, amen! That's right, brother! Preach it! That's true! And I said, what? He rose again from the dead. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! He's risen! I know all y'all don't have to be that vocal, but I hope to train some of you. You know how I train y'all when Bruce is preaching? I amen him to death. Bruce says, get your Bible. I say, amen. Turn to such and such a book. Amen. I agree with that. I believe that. It's true. Yeah. So be it. That's what amen means. Amen?
Yeah.
Right. When somebody's here, they're lost. You know, they ought to look around. People sitting on the edge of their seat. People engaged in worship. People participating.
Yes.
When he leaves that service, he's going to say, listen, those are some people that are intense about the Word of God. They're interested in the Word of God. They love the Word of God. They promote the Word of God. They worship God. That's a place that loves the Word of God and loves God. Let me go back through this. How many of y'all would say, preacher, I believe it's right for me before I come to church to get my heart clean. I shouldn't come to church with a dirty heart. Let me tell you something. All across the globe today, people are sitting in worship services and they've watched pornography. They've done filthy things. They've treated people wrong. People behind pulpits have done that. In America, we wonder, where's God? And we come to worship like that. You think people aren't to repent of those things, get right with God? Well, there's things in my life that must be cleansed and washed away as well. Amen?
Amen.
How many think you should be praying for our services?
Yes.
Amen.
We have a prayer time before Sunday school. It starts at 9:30 every morning. We'd love to invite you to come and be a part of that prayer time. But you don't have to be here at that time to pray. Amen? Please pray. How many think you ought to be at church when the church doors are open?
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Why is that, preacher? Because you just encourage others. You edify others. You build them up. Your presence tells someone else, keep on going. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't give up.
That's right. Yeah.
Why do you think the devil fights so hard to keep you at home? Because he knows how discouraging it is to the other believers when you don't come to church. I've told my kids and others, when you look for a job, make sure you get a job that you don't have to work on Sundays.
Amen.
The number one thing that's destroyed the youth of this church is working on Sundays. Mm-hmm. And listen to me, I warned them. I preached to them. I taught them, don't do that. And they still fell in the trap. How many believe you participating in worship is a good thing?
Yes.
Being here, being involved, saying amen, being engaged. Now listen, I know sometimes your body may be weary and tired. You may doze off. I understand that. I've dozed off in church before. I'm just glad I went in the third story of the building and fell down. I think I'd be in a world of trouble if that happened. None of us are going to be perfect in these things, but listen, we are to do our best because of who we serve. We serve the Lord Christ. Amen? And it takes everybody. It takes you. It takes us all worshiping God together. Amen?
Right.
To have a service that the Lord shows up at. And that's what I want. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, come join the family of God. Come receive Christ as your Savior. We had sad news this morning. Brother Phil and their family, a friend of Amanda, has several children, about six children, had a 15-year-old daughter. Rushed her to the hospital. Her liver stopped working, kidney stopped working, and at 15 years old, she left this world. I tell people all the time, young people all the time, you may not live to see your 20s. You may not live to be old. And a lot of young people are, well, once I get married, and once I have this, and then I put Jesus first, you may not make it.
That's right.
Be saved today. Give your heart to Jesus now. This is the only time you'll ever be saved, and that's now. Amen?
Amen.
And then, Christian, let me invite you, please. If you look at your worship and look back on it, months, 6 months, or a year, and you say, preacher, you know what? I've been just showing up. That's all really I've been doing. When I sing, I don't really sing to the Lord. I'm looking at the clock, waiting until the service is over. Let me invite you, if that's the case, let me invite you to an altar. You don't need to apologize to me, but you certainly need to apologize to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Why don't you come and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. When I come to church from now on, I want to worship you. I pray you'd help me to worship you. Amen? Maybe some say, preacher, I've not been faithful to church like I should be. You may want to come to this altar and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to be faithful to the house of God. Help me not to miss church. But help me to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. And listen, those are some things you can do to obey Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And we ought to obey Jesus, right?
Amen.
So let's stand for prayer and ask God to help us to do that. Amen? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for an opportunity to worship you. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, one of the greatest acts of worship is to listen to the Word of God preached. And I thank you for those who listen so well today. I ask you, Father, that you'd help them to make some decisions now. Lord, some of them may need to make a commitment. That first commitment of all commitments to Christ. Lord, I want you as my Savior. Save me. Lord, give them the strength and grace to come, put their faith and trust in you. Then, Father, there are some of your own children, born-again Christians, Lord, who have been kind of lulled to sleep by the devil and deceived to some degree. Lord, help them come and say no more. When I come to church, I want to worship. All of us want to go to a place where the presence of God is. In order for the presence of God to be here, we must be worshipers of God. And that starts with individual choices. I pray, God, that you'd help folks this morning say, Lord, I don't want to just go to church and sit there. I want to engage my heart. I want to worship you. Help me to worship you. Help me be faithful to the house of God, that I might encourage others, especially during these days. Father, have your way in this invitation, please. Accomplish your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to page 489 if you need to come.